Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and each week at this time, I have a conversation with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Steve, how are things going this week?
Well, we're going well. Just an exciting show for today. We've got Gabe Ramos, Democrat, Hispanic, and Silver City, converted over to Republican. So we've got an interview with him. Stay tuned for that. We're going to talk about the governor's jet that she's buying now that she's wanting all the citizens to drive electric cars. She's investing in a $9 million turboprop jet. The Washington Examiner has got a great article on Biden's solution to the border. They created an app, and the cartels are using the app to choke down the system. They're able to charge people that they set up on that app. Now, of course, always things on the economy. There was a fascinating article in the American Conservative that describes how Trump's policies are put into place. We'll discuss that. We got an interesting segment on which party said don't accept the election results. Trump is being indicted. What happened to the Democrats who said the same thing? So stay tuned. A great program for today.
Governor Richardson flew around in a jet that was owned by the state of New Mexico. And then Susana Martinez sold it because she didn't need it. She didn't think we ought to be spending the money. And now here we are again.
Yeah, we've got one turboprop already. Turboprop means it's a jet engine with a propeller on it. And so the state has commissioned a broker to go find them for $9 million, a second one of the turboprops. I would just tell you that it defies imagination. The governor admits she has only flown on it 4 or 5 times in the last year. It's one rule for the governor and a different rule for all the rest of us who have to be cutting our carbon emissions while she's increasing the state's carbon emissions. It's always that way. The rules apply to y'all, but not to us. So this whole issue of the governor buying a second airplane is considered in depth by Daniel Chacon of the Santa Fe New Mexican. I watch his writing with great interest. Again, I don't think we align politically, but he is an honest broker in journalism of the Santa Fe New Mexican. So take a look at that article. And probably bigger news, more important news, is that consumers are still being pummeled by Biden's economy. The price of gasoline is now $3.83 per gallon. That's $1.40 higher than when Biden took office. Also, the U.S.'s credit rating was downgraded just last week.
Yeah, by Fitch. I saw that. Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, when you downgrade the credit, that means that we're going to pay a higher price in interest. It's just like if you go to a bank and you've got tremendous credit rating, you'll pay a lower interest. And if you got bad credit, the bank is going to charge you higher interest rates. Well, the same thing with the U.S. And you can think with all of the trillions of dollars that we owe, even just 0.25% more in interest is going to drive the cost of the interest payments up very high. And every dollar you spend on interest charges, then you're going to have less to put into programs like Medicare, Medicaid, or whatever. So those Biden economics are really punishing people right now. KOB has a great article and a great spot about the inflation just when school kids are going back to school. The cost of the average family is going to be about $25 more than last year. And that's about $900 average that the average family is going to spend. That's a tremendous bite on families that are just struggling to get by. And most New Mexico families are just barely getting by. So as the school year starts, economic pressures are going to cause more tension in the household. You get the sense that it's just very unstable here in New Mexico. As people have to spend money on school, then they're able to spend less on other essentials like rent or like shoes for the kids. And so we have that, the Biden economics playing out very badly for families right now. And not only are we faced with having the worst education system in the nation, but the governor is spending money on her jet, and she can't seem to solve the education crisis. She can't seem to solve the revolving door of secretaries at her agencies. And so it's just really a sad situation. I think probably one more discouraging things is the lack of thought that are put into the solutions. One solution, when talking about the school cost, said to set a budget and stick to it. Well, I mean, everybody does that. One of the recommendations is also to not bring the children along, like that's going to lower the cost of things that you have to get. It's nothing to deal with the inflation, nothing to try to get jobs, nothing to try to get more manufacturers, to get greater sources of these school products. It's all about, well, just control yourself and it's going to be okay. So these are the days that we're living in New Mexico, and they don't look like they're changing anytime soon until voters decide to vote for Republicans who understand business, who understand supply chain, and understand how to get the prices down instead of telling you how to act differently.
Coming up next, I'll be having a conversation with, yes, a former Democrat state senator on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Thanks for staying with us on Inside New Mexico as I continue my conversation with Steve Pierce. And Steve, you asked me to interview former Democrat State Senator Gabe Ramos.
I wanted our listeners to be able to tell the kind of candidates that we're getting from the Democrat Party, people who stand on principle rather than power, people who are willing to fight for the common man and woman just struggling to make ends meet. That's Gabe Ramos. So listen as he interviews with Derek in this next segment.
With me on the telephone is our former state senator, Gabe Ramos. He represented District 28, Catron, Grant, and Socorro area. And you were our senator, and you have made some changes in your outlook. Tell us what's going on.
Yes, sir. Well, I used to be a moderate conservative Democrat, and it seems like the Democrat Party doesn't have room for moderate conservatives anymore. And I switched over to Republican back in November of last year. And I really started looking back and thinking of what the Democrats stood for when I first became a Democrat when I was 18 years old. And a good blue dog Democrat, a moderate conservative. And the Democrat Party has changed so much. And when I was on the Senate floor, they really pushed hard to get rid of the moderate conservative. The primary in 2020 was the tough one, where they spent a lot of money taking out five of us moderates. And I really felt the state of New Mexico lost because we were the ones that were really trying to work together and keep bad bills from going through. I think by removing the moderates, they took out the balance of the Senate floor. And by doing that, the Democrats were able to pass any bill that they wanted to get through.
Was there any specific issue that made you decide to switch parties?
Well, I look back at when I was on the Senate floor, and I've always been pro-life and lifelong Catholic, and being pro-life, I was really saddened that one of the big bills that they passed when I left the Senate floor is the big abortion bill, which was abortion up to the last day of pregnancy, and that was really sad. And now looking at the politics of today and seeing that they're trying to take away the rights of parents to teach what they want to be taught, it's really sad to me. And, you know, also seeing the way they're going after the Second Amendment, which is really dear to me and Southwest New Mexico, the district that I represent. And now that they have redistricted District 28, I would encompass Hidalgo County, Luna County, and Grant County. And I know that the Second Amendment isn't just a subject. It's a way of life here. You know, it's part of our culture for hunting and sports and just being able to own a gun that you want. The Second Amendment has done great for our country. I think that's the main reason why we've never had to shed blood in our soil when it comes to war. And I've always respected the Second Amendment and will continue to do so.
Well, I have to give you kudos for standing by your beliefs, because a lot of our legislators didn't. They caved and voted against things that I know that they didn't believe in just to keep their seat. And so do you see a political future on the Republican side for you?
Well, you know, it's something that we are definitely talking about. We haven't made up our mind completely. But if we do decide to, we'll let people know as soon as possible. I used to love what I was doing. I was a senator that got along with both sides. I truly felt that once we got on the Senate floor, we were no longer Democrats and Republicans. We were doing what was right for the people. and you don't go against your morals, and you don't go against the morals of your district. And that's what I truly believe. I believe that still today. Our senator, she introduced some bills that just were not good for Southwest New Mexico. And that is definitely one of the reasons I'm really considering running again, because I truly feel that we're not represented at this point to the way that we should be in Southwest New Mexico.
I've been told by some of my Democrat friends that they were told that if they didn't vote the right way on some of these bills, that their own party would primary them.
And that is true. You know, it's really something when your own party goes after you. There used to be a time where if you were pro-life, well, you were pro-life. But if you were a Democrat, you were a Democrat either way. You were just a pro-life Democrat. But that has changed drastically in today's politics. And that's something that's very sad to me. And I really took it to heart on the way I got treated. And not only that, but I say the way I got treated, but it's the way the people have been treated, because I know tons of people feel the same way that I do. They're pro-life. They support the Second Amendment. They want to make sure that parents have the right to choose what's going to happen with their children. And they want to make sure that they're able to protect their children. So I really still feel that I am the true person that can represent this district if I decide to run.
I'm talking with former State Senator Gabriel Ramos. Thank you for joining me on Inside New Mexico.
I thank you so much, Derek, and it was really a privilege to be here speaking to you today.
Democrats said Donald Trump was an illegitimate president when he won. Democrats said George Bush didn't really win the election against Al Gore in 2000. Nobody's indicting them. We'll talk about that in a moment on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Thanks for staying with us on Inside New Mexico. I'm talking with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pearson. Steve, there's still controversy over who won the election in 2020. I have seen reports, I've seen videos that show that there was some funny business going on. I read the whole Maricopa County election audit report in Arizona that shows that just that county that Trump won, and that's not all of Arizona, that's just Maricopa County. You and I have seen the videos of people going in after the doors are supposedly locked in voting centers and people putting ballots through machines when they're supposed to be shut down till the next morning. No judge wanted to rule on it, but yet you will be dismissed if you say the election was a fraud. There are national radio companies that host talk shows, and they're told any host that brings that subject up would be fired if you say that the election in 2020 was fraudulent. And yet Trump is being indicted for saying that, but yet Democrats can say it. We have a recording here of some Democrats in 2000 saying that George Bush didn't really win, that Al Gore won. And then in 2020, Hillary Clinton saying that Trump is not a legitimate president. Jimmy Carter saying that Trump was placed by Russians, and of course now we know that not to be true, but yet they were saying that back then. So shouldn't those people saying that, especially now that we know the whole Russian thing was a hoax, shouldn't they be indicted?
Yeah, this is one of the great problems that we're facing right now, is that even the speech, even freedom of speech, the First Amendment to the Constitution is at risk, because you will get fired, you will get charged, you will get sued if you dare to say that there are irregularities with the elections. And like you said, as the Republican Party of New Mexico, we had multiple things that we submitted to the authorities to investigate. Even after the election, we had people who went in to vote and someone else had voted in their place. No ID was required. We had them write out an affidavit, had it notarized and ready to send to the investigative agencies. No one investigated. Then we had people who went in who had been registered as Republican for years. Suddenly, their registration was gone after this motor voter type of registration. We had other voters who did not request absentee ballots, but received absentee ballots in the mail. That meant that there was nobody checking, and they could, without any great risk, fill out their absentee ballots and go vote in person because they had never actually requested. They wouldn't be in the system to have requested the absentee ballots. We had videos of people coming and dropping hundreds of ballots in the drop boxes. That's against the law, and nobody ever separated those ballots out. Nobody ever checked on it. We had Republicans kept out of meetings where the certification of absentee ballots was occurring. That's a violation of the law, and the authorities would not look at that. And so there were many anomalies, but if you ever speak of those things, then you run the risk of being sued or fired or some other way retaliated against. And so I want people to listen to this clip that you have in order for us to understand how one-sided justice has become in this country.
You can run the best campaign. You can even become the nominee. And you can have the election stolen from you.
He's an illegitimate president in my mind.
Would you be my vice presidential candidate?
Folks, look, I absolutely agree.
Trump didn't actually win the election in 2016. He lost the election, and he was put in office because the Russians interfered.
Trump knows he's an illegitimate president.
The president-elect, although legally elected, is not legitimate.
You said you believe that Russia's interference altered the outcome of the election.
I do. We have a president who, if in fact it is proven, has been assisted by the Russians and may in fact not be a legitimate president.
The one thing that Trump is fearful of when it comes to his being president is that finally we will see how illegitimate his victory actually was.
I have an objection.
I object to the 15 votes from the state of North Carolina.
I object because people are horrified.
He's an illegitimate president.
Do you believe Trump is illegitimate president?
What I believe is that there's no question that the outcome of this election was affected by the Russian interference.
But there absolutely is a cloud of illegitimacy.
So that legitimacy is in question, yes.
So that was a very tainted election. And in that sense, it's illegitimate.
Why do you think the president is going to such great lengths to essentially prove that he beat you?
Because he knows he didn't. He knows he's an illegitimate president.
All right, it goes on, but you get the idea. And so they can say that, and they're not getting indicted.
But I found it interesting, and right in that same vein, the left is attacking one of its own this week because he's not holding to the spiritual mantra of the left. There's an article in the Religion News that talks this week about Richard Dawkins has abandoned science to justify his transphobia. Then the subheading says it's jarring to see the world's most famous atheist use his massive platform to downplay or deny trans identities. What it came out to is that Richard Dawkins said that maybe we ought to look at science and talk about the gender of people. So he said that sex really is binary and that kids choosing to be trans under pressure from both peers and teachers is not a good idea. He insisted that people like him were the real victims of abuse, wondering why all of bullying goes one way. And so no matter how long you have been a part of the left, you're never safe if you don't keep to the spiritual mantras that are currently coming out from the Democrat leadership. And again, this is not Democrats like my mom and dad or anybody in your family. It's the progressive Democrats and trying to redefine who the country is, what the country is, and who we are as people. So people are fighting back. The transphobia is costing Budweiser, maybe its entire brand. It's costing Target stores. So just know that the public is changing its opinion very quickly on how far they're willing to allow that whole discussion to go.
One other thing that was scary about the indictments on Donald Trump is I hear now they're going after his attorney, Dershowitz. I thought you had the right to counsel. Now, if you're a counsel, they'll come after you, too, if they don't like who you're defending.
Again, the plan is to take away not only your right to speak, but your right to have legal counsel. It'll come to a point where you just don't have any options at all. Even in Canada, the government under Trudeau, when they had that big tractor convoy that was creating such a controversy in Canada over the cutting of agriculture products, Trudeau went in and took their bank accounts. And so, again, that is just government dictatorship at that point. When you have no rights to speak, no rights to voice, no right to fight back, this is where the left is trying to take the entire world, not just the U.S. So we're in a fight for our spiritual lives, a fight for our political lives, and a fight for our economic lives.
If I disagree with the left, what can I do about it? I'm sitting here listening to Steve and Derek on the radio, but what can I do?
It's very difficult, and one of the things I do is stay involved in the political realm in order to try to elect conservative candidates. If we have voices, like right now, the House of Representatives is controlled by Republicans, and we can stop almost everything that Joe Biden wants to get through. If we take the Senate in the coming election, then that's even a stronger voice of restraint against Joe Biden. And there was a huge article this week, and it points back to Obama making a quote several years ago. They asked if he wanted to do a third term as president, and he said only if he could run it from his basement. That is, if he could find a front person who was willing to serve, then he could pull all the strings from the basement. The conclusion is that that's exactly what happened with Joe Biden, that he's not his own person, that he surrounded himself with Obama staffers, and those Obama staffers are going to the former president to determine what course the White House is going to take. I think that Joe Biden has made it clear that he's not as much in the game as what he ought to be. So another really great article came out in the American Conservative. We talked about that in the introduction, but it says, forget the vote in 2016, 2022. Look at the political spectrum today. And the point he's making is that in 2015, when Trump announced his candidacy, he told the world exactly what he wanted to do. He argued that the globalist trade policy had weakened the American economy and hurt the American worker, which I was in Washington and could verify that was happening. He singled out China and Mexico in particular as unfair dealers. He condemned the idealistic adventurism of the Iraq War. He said American security obligations to countries like Saudi Arabia were raw deals for the U.S., and they were, and they continue to be. He noted that China was using its trade surplus with the U.S. to fund military expansion in the Pacific. I was chair of the XM advisory board after getting out of the XM deals with exports and imports worldwide. And I can tell you that it's not just in the Pacific. China is expanding across the entire world. They're making deals with countries to fund maybe a railroad or a system of highways. But they also put into the fine print that if the country doesn't keep up with its payments, that China can go in and run the country. So President Trump was correct on China. He denounced plans to cut the entitlement programs like Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and he declared that he would close the border with Mexico. Now then, when the writer looks at 2023, less than a decade later, Americans across the political spectrum have stepped back from the free trade orthodoxy. I always told people that we were after fair trade. Free trade was just a word. It was nothing of the sort. When we signed these free trade agreements, what it meant was that that country could send their products to us free of charge, but we had still pay taxes on our products being sold in other countries. And Trump corrected that. He changed the entire thought process on the whole free trade discussion. The United States has negotiated a replacement for NAFTA. I was there when we did that. The USMCA was able to stop the Mexican cheating on labor and environmental standards and Canadian cheating on subsidies. And so now the U.S. is litigating a trade dispute to keep Mexico honest on its energy, steel, and aluminum. We're in the midst of negotiating a reform of the WTO dispute settlement system to be more amenable to American protection mechanisms. Meanwhile, China has fallen from the top American trade partner to a distant third place. Within the U.S., a fad for industrial policy has gripped both parties. Enormous bills targeting infrastructure and key industries have passed on a largely bipartisan basis. The American worker, rather than the consumer, has become the focal point of mainstream American economic policy. The current administration slow-walked its response to inflation for fear of causing a spike in the unemployment rate. The Biden National Labor Relations Board is more union-friendly than even Trump's. Meanwhile, the American foreign policy establishment has oriented itself toward a long-term rivalry with China. The Russian-Ukrainian conflict has given the freeloading European allies a kick in the pants, encouraging them to at least start getting serious about bearing their own defensive burdens. following through on Trump's attempted pullout from Afghanistan, functionally vetoed by the defense, was one of his top successors' foreign policy priorities. Biden did it very ham-fistedly, cost American lives, but he got us out of Afghanistan despite the resistance from the generals. So the whole discussion of who won in 2020 and what effect is Trump having, Trump has controlled the agenda since he walked down that escalator in 2015. And so he may be unpopular, he may not be your choice for the next president, but his ideas have sustained us through very difficult circumstances, and they seem to be getting larger rather than smaller.
I've been talking with Steve Pierce, the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico. If you would like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, there are several ways to do that. First, check out the website at newmexico.gop. The party has a Facebook page and a Twitter account, now X account, and the handle is at New Mexico GOP. If you would like to speak to someone in person, you can call party headquarters in Albuquerque at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. We look forward to meeting with you again at this time next week, right here on Inside New Mexico.